Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back. Best time to get in, as we are commercial-free here for the next almost an hour. Almost an hour, Jack.
At least an hour.
215-592-9494 on Twitter, at Marks Reese, W-I-P. Jack put up an excellent Twitter question, which we'll get into in the 5 o'clock hour, and it relates to Jimmy Butler and Sixto Sanchez. So stay tuned for that. Let's get to the phones on the Eagles. Donald and Chester.
Whose question was that?
It was Jack.
Who came up with that idea?
But guess who executed it?
It was you again. See? We've had two good Twitter questions today.
No, you've been behind yourself both. No, I got you. Jason Peters, all about you. I got it.
No, because didn't Jack want to ask something else? And it was like, nah, it doesn't really make sense.
I don't remember.
If you could only have one back, who would it be? Sixto or Jimmy Butler? And I'm going to vote right now. It's easy for me. Wow. All right. You can vote at Mark Streets WIP. And, you know,
it's a little surprise, isn't it?
As we get moving right here, we'll get into it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, Butler is a couple wins away from going to the NBA Finals. I mean, saw your man B. West tweet out last night. How'd the Sixers let this guy go?
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were already been over why he's not in Philadelphia anymore. All right, let's get to it. Donald in Chester. Donald, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, guys, long time. How y'all been?
Donald, how you been?
What's up, Don?
I've been chilling, man. You know, I've been listening to you guys' shows for the last month. It's been some great shows.
Oh, thank you. Y'all been having
back and forth and everything. The thing I called about is that I have a different concern for the Broncos. I have a different concern. My concern is I'm starting not to trust Doug, you know, because I just didn't think that he was supposed to drop back that many times. Now, I hope it's not Carson changing anything at the line, you know, putting himself in that type of situation. But that's the thing that I'm concerned about because Johnny Marks, I'm with you too as well. I just don't see him lasting the whole season, dropping back that many times. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's going to have to do something. And I wanted to say this one thing and make it quick. I remember the first time I listened to 94YIP, I was listening to Angelo Cataldi, and that's when Hugh Douglas was there. And Hugh Douglas said that McNabb and Jimmy Johnson has saved Andy Reid's butt so many times. Mm-hmm. He said McNabb used to go over to you guys and tell you guys to hang in there. I'll find out a way to win. So I hope that's something that Carson picks up in 5 years.
Yeah, I think Carson certainly has that in him. I mean, listen, the funny thing is you watch what he does at the end of the season. That seems to answer or at least, you know, pour water on a lot of people's fears, and he can lead a team and he can lead a locker room and he can put a team on his back. And then one game happens after no preseason and everybody's already – that just goes to show how much faith you really did have in him. That's why my hand doesn't shake. I don't waver in my confidence on Wentz. I know what he can do, and he can play better than he played Sunday. He will play better than he played Sunday. I've seen Carson, when put in the proper position, put the team on his back. I've seen him do these things. I'm not concerned about that. That doesn't waver after one game without any offseason with a bunch of new receivers out there and a tattered offensive line. That hasn't changed. What has me concerned is it wasn't recognized going into the game what you should have done to protect your quarterback. As a matter of fact, why wouldn't the number one thing, the number one objective would be, man, protect number 11. Make sure this dude is preserved at all cost. He shouldn't have to be running around trying to be a magician to save our bacon. Like, why not invest more into the offensive line with earlier draft picks? If this is such a high, deep receiver class, you know what I'll say? And this is no shot at Jalen Reagor. How about take a freaking tackle in the first round? Seriously. It's such a deep draft on wide receivers. Unless you were going to be up in the top 15 to get CeeDee Lamb. You got concerns about Andre Dillon already. You got two other old linemen over there that are injured over the last couple years. Jason Kelce is a hanging on thread before he retires.
Yeah, what happens if Jason Kelce doesn't come back next year?
Protect
then what do
you
your
do? Freaking quarterback, man. Because everything goes downhill if you don't have him. Instead, we take Jalen Hurts in the second round. We take a wide receiver in the first round. And like I'm just – you build a team through the trenches is what I heard. You build a team through the trenches, and until you solidify the trenches, all the other stuff on the edges don't matter.
Yeah.
It don't matter if you don't have an offensive line. If you had Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson – I'll use Russell Wilson because he's a little older and he certainly protects himself. So I don't think Lamar protects himself. He's just a great athlete. Sometimes he doesn't get a hit. Sometimes he does. But Russell Wilson knows how to protect himself, right? So Seattle struggled for years trying to get an offensive line around Russell Wilson. Struggled for years trying to get an offensive line around him. And he had to be a magician. Well, that's one thing if your quarterback knows how to protect himself. How wise is it of the organization to say, well, even though we have proof that you sometimes struggle with protecting yourself, meaning you're trying to do too much and you put yourself in harm's way, well, we won't put a strong offensive line around you. We're just going to let you we're going to have you do what you don't necessarily do very well. Instead of building a force around him, a force field around him that will allow him to pass with a comfort level. Woo, when they had the best offensive line in football, he certainly seemed to sling that thing with no problem. When he was an MVP candidate, right? Certainly seemed to throw the ball with no problems then. But now you want to ask him to be a magician back there to prove that he's a franchise quarterback. Really? Always said, the organization's job isn't to make the quarterback's job harder to prove that he's the right guy. You ought to know he's the right guy and build around him to protect him. Or unless you don't think he's the right – I don't know.
Well, when you look at what they did, they overpaid or they paid – and that's a high-paid offensive line between Brandon Brooks, who's not out there making a ton of money, Lane Johnson, who missed week one, make a lot of money, Kelce, Jason Peters before this year was making money at least before. Problem is, Andre Dillard's drafted, he can't play, right? Go back and look at their drafts. 2017, they didn't even take an offensive lineman in the draft at all. So right now, when you see no depth, it's because...
And what was Jason Peters, 35 at that point?
2017, they didn't take it.
Yeah, it was 35.
They didn't take, and they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they had 8 draft picks that they selected, not one offensive lineman. 2018, they had less picks, but Matt Pryor and Jordan Mailata are the guys that you picked. All right? And Pryor couldn't even get in the starting lineup last week.
Hold on. Is that the year we took Dallas Goedert?
Yep. Yeah. So you have two. Now you have a tight end problem. And then you take Dillard with the first pick in 2019. And I
say that about Dallas Goedert to say, again, your offensive line was getting older. Waiting to take linemen in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round to get lucky isn't what you do. Take the guys at the top of the draft. At some point, you had to be anticipating Jason Peters is going to break down. Now, he may have played longer than most of us have anticipated. But at 35, you need to be making plans for the future. Mm-hmm. not relying on and re-signing Jason Peters.
Well, they thought they did with that with Dillard. I mean,
yeah, but that was 2 years later.
I know. You're right.
Jason Peters is 38, not 33. So we can't even use the excuse where he was still in his prime. That's why we didn't take a lineman. When guys get in their 30s, you need to start preparing to move on from them.
Very true. Chris in Pennsauken. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
My man, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Oh, man, I was on hold, so I closed my eyes, and it was like yesterday, John Gruden was saying to Carson, the two-handed monster, and hitting him with these stupid pool toys when he went to the quarterback camp. And he still don't do it. I mean, does he have Ben-itis? Does everybody have Ben-itis? Can we actually get a player to listen to one of our coaches in any of our sports? Do we really need this? 2020 is bad enough, man. Mm-hmm. Now, they tell the kid all the time, I love Carson. But now, I mean, come on, man. It's his fifth year in. We get on Ben Simmons. He's, what, 4 or 5 years in for not shooting? It's the same damn theory. I don't understand it. And Jeffrey Lurie's to blame for this. Like, he not him holding on to the ball. He's to blame for this. He allows Howie Roseman to pick players. You like Howie? Move him up. Make him president or something.
But yeah, I got news, Chris. The Eagles didn't lose the game because Carson Wentz held on to the ball.
I didn't say they lost because of that. But I'm saying he still does it. It's 5 years later. Me and you get on Ben all the time. When's he going to shoot? They took these stats.
Well, here's the difference. I'm about to tell you the difference.
Okay.
Because one is he's holding on to the ball because he's trying to make something happen.
Right.
Not because he's afraid to throw the ball. There's a difference.
No, I understand, but I think Ben Simmons is so easy not to shoot. I mean, look, now we just elevated him even more. That kid's not going to shoot now. He's like all NBA, everything. You read it off an hour and a half ago. He's not going to shoot now. The more accolades that kid gets, the more he just does whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just don't understand how Howie Roseman has control of these draft picks, and Jeffrey allowed it. I mean,
he's the GM.
He's the GM.
Chris, I love the team, Chris. I love the team. I love the team. Which is why my overall concern is the direction that it's headed in. I love the team. You want to start over at quarterback? Fine. It's not going to put you any closer to the Super Bowl. That's the other thing people don't necessarily understand. I want to be right about Carson because I want to get back to the Super Bowl. I want the team to win again. Other people want to be right about Carson for their own agenda. That's why I want to be right about Carson, because I want the team to win. What I don't want to do is start over and be wrong about a quarterback. All this Jalen Hurts stuff, okay. Jalen Hurts ain't ready to play today. He wasn't even active Sunday. So before I'm ready to accept the fact my franchise quarterback ain't the guy, which basically is saying, why am I watching the Eagles? If I don't believe in the quarterback, he ain't the guy. Why am I watching the team? I'm just waiting on him to either get injured, for them to trade him or something. By the way, you're going to probably get a new coach too. Y'all already hit the reset button.
Mm-mm.
See, you guys think I'm on Carson because for something that is gratifying to me. I could care less. If he's good, the team's going to be good. If he's what I think he is, the team's going to be good. We're all going to benefit from that. I don't get any extra points about being right. I want the team to be good. I don't want to go through 7-9, 8-8 seasons.
Yeah.
Man, that Super Bowl seems such a distant memory. I never seen a Super Bowl split a fan base like this one has for our city. Have we really, from the fans to the organization, from an internal standpoint, you can make an argument that winning that Super Bowl may have done as much bad as it has good. Players entitled. Everybody wants to get paid. The last couple of years, players not getting paid has played a part in that culture in the locker room. Since they won that Super Bowl, players who haven't been paid, who think they contributed to the team winning the Super Bowl, are either told they're going to wait on their contracts, Nelson Agholor, what have you, that set off bad mojo. You went and paid DeSean Jackson. Nelson Agholor, 8-9 catches in the Super Bowl. How do you think he feels? He's not happy. He's complaining after week one, after they win. DeSean is talking about that in the postgame press conference. I had to tell Nelson, just be patient. Wait your time. You're going to get it. You're going to get yours. Nelson's complaining about the ball not coming to him in a win. You know why? Because it affects his money.
Mm-hmm.
So them winning that Super Bowl, Carson got paid. That made people mad. Oh, you paid dude? You paid dude? Malcolm didn't get paid. This guy didn't get paid. That guy didn't get paid.
Zach Ertz didn't get paid.
These guys aren't thinking about winning anymore. They're thinking about cashing in.
Mark Sinarisso, 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from Tasty Cake Studios. Ray in Delaware has a question for you, Ike. Ray, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Hi, Ray.
What's up, Ray?
Oh, man, I'm good. Ike, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Now, let me spit my point out there first. Now, we're going along with talking about Carson and his situational awareness. He's not throwing the ball away. He's not doing this. He's holding on to the ball. Blase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ike, you played in the league. You've been on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is this. If there's a situation, if there's like 3rd and 5 and we're on our own 30, isn't it a coach's job to remind Carson, hey, listen, Carson, it's 3rd and 5. If you don't see your first read there, throw the ball away. That's the reason why I blame the coaching. People are out there saying, oh, Carson's not throwing the ball away. He's holding on to the ball. He's in the heat of battle. He's in the emotion of the game. He's not always thinking about all of that.
I see what you're saying. And you would think 5 years in that you shouldn't have to remind him of in-game situations. But it's obvious that you do have to still remind him of in-game situation. Hell, hold on real quick, Ray. Had a head coach for the Denver Broncos. Vic Fangio, been coaching for years. He didn't understand the in-game situation late in the game. How many times have we said Andy Reid, clock management, coaching for years, don't understand the in-game situation? Coaching for years.
Right. But I wouldn't you think that's what a coach's job is to
– Yes.
That's what they're there for.
Yes. I just don't want to give Carson the excuse as if he's a first- or second-year player that needs to have his hand held. But you're right. There's nothing wrong with saying to the guy, what the hell they got these things in the helmets for? There's nothing wrong with saying to Carson, hey, we got points guaranteed for us here. No need to take unnecessary risk. There's nothing wrong with telling Carson going out there before that final drive, before the half, with 1:30 left. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, listen, we want to make sure we take care of the football, be smart with it. But when you know you have a guy whose natural instinct is to be aggressive, then you have to be the one. You know why Doug can't do it, John? And everybody's listening? And again, I feel like I have to preface this every time I say it, because it sounds like I'm killing Doug. I love Doug as a coach. I do. But that's the problem is Doug has an aggressive mindset. So it's not like he's calling plays from a conservative standpoint and the quarterback is saying, no, forget that. I'm going deep with the ball. The coach is telling you he's going to remain aggressive. He's going to attack down the field. We said rollouts, right? Doug's answer was, there's other ways to attack downfield. The coach is telling you that. That's his mindset. So how do you have a coach that's aggressive, wants to throw the ball down the field deep, and you got a quarterback whose temperament is the same way? So where's the balance of let's be conservative, let's be check down Charlie?
Was that Frank Reich?
No, they bombed the ball away. They bombs away that year.
Mm-hmm.
They threw the ball down.
But they also could. They also could that year, right? Like they were set up to do that.
Well, that's what they think they're set up to do now. They tried to put it on display, John. The game plan was throw the ball down the field.
I know. I guess
that's the coach's game plan.
I guess my point is that where is the voice of reason in all this that says, "Hey, you know,
maybe we should hang on a second. I know this is what we drew up, but it's not working. Maybe we should try something else. Is there anybody? He has 14 offensive assistants.
I don't know.
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, he does. I'm just saying. You're asking me what a voice of reason is. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying we put this all on Carson as if he's somehow supposed to play a certain way when they're being coached to be aggressive and go downfield. If you want checkdowns and screens, then call them. Don't call pass patterns that are being ran 20 yards down the field when you don't have an offensive line that can hold up in protection. That's the other part of this. That's the biggest part of this. Is the protection that's there. And then the quarterback gets hit, and the hits start to add up. Certainly looked okay when he was 15 for 17. Looked okay when he threw it deep to Jalen Reagor earlier. Looked okay then. Looked okay then.
Let's go to Ahmad, West Philly. Ahmad, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I haven't talked to y'all in a long time.
I remember. Where you been?
What's up, Ahmad? Just working hard, man. Just dealing with life, man. That's about it.
I hear you.
I called you to make a couple points, and then I'm going to fly away. I blame that loss on the whole team, you know, because, you know, it takes the whole team, to, you know, to win a football game. Carson Wentz, he has a large
piece of the pie.
You know, responsibility in this. So does – you know, Doug, you know, my issue with Doug is when you see your quarterback, you know, in distress, you see that the line is not holding up. You see, I saw a play where Carson just saw the blitz coming. And he just like, he just stood there like he was going like disappear. Like,
but where's he going to throw the ball? You just can't. When people say throw the ball away, you can't just – first of all, hold on. First of all, real quick, and I'm going to let you finish, Ahmad. When you're in between the tackles, you can't just throw the ball away because that's just like a sack. You're going to get a 15-yard penalty for intentional grounding. So you have to be outside the pocket to just throw the ball away. You can't just throw the ball away from the middle of the pocket. Do we all understand that? John, you understand that? Mm-mm. You understand? You don't. You know. You don't know. You can't. You can't throw the ball away unless you're outside the pocket.
I know that rule, but there's also ways to get rid of the ball where it's not a penalty.
You know, my
How?
Question is:
you throw the
ball out of bounds near an intended receiver. You just can't throw the ball
where
there's no one there.
But if you got rushers in your face, how are you seeing a how do you see an intended receiver with rushers in your face and you're in the middle of the field? So the reason why he doesn't throw it and takes a sack instead, because you don't want to throw an interception by just throwing the ball up.
So he had to take the sack
on
the third down where he was at the 22-yard line.
That's one out of eight.
Okay, but I guess my point is that on some, there's nothing you can do. Like the blitz up the middle.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making.
He couldn't do anything with that.
That's
he had to eat
I'm
that.
Making. That's the point. Only one I know he could have threw away for sure was the screen play. Because all you had to do is throw the ball at the runner's feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you had to do. Go ahead, Ahmad. Go ahead and finish.
Now, I have a question for you, Ike. You know, I thought when Carson, you know, when he was taking these sacks, I thought – Doug would design more plays to keep him out, like more run plays. You know, maybe some jet sweeps or something. Anything to keep him out of. Because, I mean, he was getting hit. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, I've never seen Carson get – I don't think I've seen any quarterback get sacked that many times except when we played the Jets. You know, when we sacked that quarterback.
I think that was 10 times, yeah.
Yeah, that was – yeah, so – I don't know. I think Carson is just Carson. I think 5 years, you would think things would change, but I'm just going to assume he just is who he is, and maybe we expected too much, or we don't want to believe that this is who he is, and you know, because we want him to be so much more. We've seen that, but then we've seen that other different, you know, coordinators, different coaches, you know, and they not here anymore, and Carson looks different. He don't
got
look,
you,
he don't
got
look
you, man. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Don't be a stranger.
He looks the same to me. Looked good last year. Looked good to me.
Guided Door and Window. 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. Up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com.
You know what you can do when you roll a quarterback out? Give him the ability to throw the ball away because you're outside the pocket.
It's also easier to buy time if you're
Nobody's open, he can throw the ball away outside the pocket.
Love throwing the ball away. It's our new
favorite
thing.
I know, that's a new thing. That's what we all want. We want to throw the ball away. That's what we want.
Throw the ball away.
That's going to help us win.
Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're thinking of getting engaged, well, you have to visit Mark's Jewelers in their 25,000-square-foot showroom online, marks-jewelers.com. So, Jack, tell me what you voted here. And this is the question that I came up with. If you could only have one back, would it be Jimmy Butler or Sixto Sanchez? Really, I would have said, would you, if you could redo the Real Muto trade right now, would you? And I would vote yes.
I would.
Absolutely. Would you?
I would, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's not. So the fact, hold on. The fact that this poll is 51-49 Jimmy Butler is going to drive me crazy.
Yeah, I can tell.
Sixto Sanchez is a 22-year-old future ace with legit first ballot Hall of Fame upside. Mm-hmm. I understand pitchers get hurt. If you've watched Sixto Sanchez, you know how good Sixto Sanchez is. Jimmy Butler is a 32-year-old player that's a top 20 player that's having a good moment in the bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, Sixto Sanchez is 10 years younger and probably better than Jimmy Butler is going to be. And just imagine him here. Like, it should be 70-30 Sixto Sanchez.
I voted Sixto.
Well, here's what goes into the thinking, and I voted Jimmy. Here's what goes into the thinking. You're closer to winning right now. You put Sixto on this team, and there's no JT Realmuto. I don't know how close you are to winning anything. Mm. I don't know how close you are to winning anything. So even if Jimmy Butler was here for 4 years, with Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, whether it's Tobias Harris and not Al Horford, but Tobias Harris, this team could easily be the best team in the Eastern Conference, and you could be in the NBA Finals. You could have Sixto Sanchez here for the next 10 years and not make the World Series.
Well, and Jimmy's doing it right now. People are saying, like it.
Also know what it looked like when he was here and what it could be if he was still here. Like,
yeah, they needed him.
That's the element that you're missing.
Mm. Yeah, they needed Jimmy him this Butler. Year. Yeah, I mean, look at Miami. Remember when he signed with Miami? It was, you're going down. That team's not any good. You're not going to win anything.
No, they weren't. Well, he made them good.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Sixto's really on his way to making the Marlins even better.
Yeah, Sixto's had a hell of a start, no doubt about it. 22 years old, just turned 22. Pedro said he reminds me of him, except
with better stuff.
With better stuff.
Which isn't true. I mean Pedro's stuff was stupid.
Yeah, he's playing the young man up.
It's cool.
Oh, it's great. No, I love hearing it. No, I love it. No, honestly, if I could go back and take Pedro off the 09 Phillies, I would do it. I'm so angry at Pedro.
He made that worse for you by saying that.
Yeah, it's like everyone knows he looks like you from a pitching standpoint. We don't need you to tell us every day.
So we're in here on Sunday, and Jack has the Eagles game on one TV, and he's got the Phillies game on the other TV. And 6-0's pitching, right? So I'm just like, dude, just get this game off. I don't even want to watch this, right? It was depressing. And thank God Klecko came in and got Red Zone on the other TV.
Well, we changed that once. I mean, I'm not watching Red Zone over the Phillies, first of all. Mm-hmm. Come on.
All right.
I don't care about football.
I was ready to get 6-0 off the monitor.
Listen.
That's for sure.
I didn't even see baseball Sunday.
Exactly.
Well, neither did most
of the violation on both of y'all. Mm. Even be watching baseball on a Sunday.
Oh, I do.
Football Sunday, NFL football.
Well, I mean, listen. If it would have been, if the Eagles weren't playing yet, then it's okay to have the Phillies game on. So you're concentrating on it.
No, not me.
Well, I'm saying if they're not playing, you can have it on. If they're playing,
on an NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
No, I could care less about baseball.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that I disagree with you, but then I would understand Jack wanting to watch the Phillies.
Well, he's a baseball guy.
He definitely is. Let's go to back to the phones. We'll go to Wade in Chester. Wade.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we today?
Oh, it's that Wade in Chester.
back to back.
I'm that Wade now. It's okay to label me that. I'm good. Because now that y'all have made me famous, I'm okay with that. Appreciate that. Now, yeah, Ike, I hear you. I hear you laughing.
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you did. I heard you, Ike. Don't even worry about it. I'm ready now. Ready?
All right. Well, yeah, go.
All right, you made an untrue statement when you said that Baldy was not a part of the LB. Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, okay. He's not.
All right. I don't want to waste too much time on it. You can check on that later on.
Okay. Here's the other deal.
Yes.
The notion that Carson Wentz can't throw the ball away from the pocket lets you know, obviously, somebody don't know nothing about football. But the way that he threw the ball over DeSean Jackson's head in that game, that was like throwing it away. So you can do that from the pocket. Because DeSean Jackson was very frustrated that Carson couldn't get him the ball. And this is one of the things that I was trying to say about Carson Wentz and us getting all these receivers. Mm-hmm. He's not the type of quarterback that take advantage of receivers. He's a tight end type quarterback. Because why? He's limited in the things that he can do. The other thing I wanted to say is this here. When my boy was at quarterback, everybody's job was safe. There was no bad offense coordinators. The coach was good. The tight end was good. Corey Clement was a damn Pro Bowler. Now that the jackass is at quarterback, okay, everybody's job is in jeopardy. Everybody. I'm talking about Swoosh's damn job is in jeopardy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why? Because Carson Wentz is underperforming. He's not performing as a number two overall pick that you gave up a first-round pick for, okay, because we gave up two, all right? This guy is not cutting it. And the reason why we're where we are right now is because there's no Carson Wentz factor. So now everybody becomes magnified, and everybody that could do a job ain't doing a job. It's all
it's all Wentz's fault.
We gotta stop acting like we don't know football, man.
It's all Wentz's fault.
We gotta stop this.
Well, you're still talking about Nick Foles and losing jobs. I thought you had something new for me, man. I thought you were bringing me something new to the table. Where you brought the same argument that you brought yesterday, man.
Right. Is that because that was when we were the most happiest as a fan base.
Yeah, and thanks to number 11 putting you in that position.
It's good
to be happy. Thanks to number 11 putting you in that position to be happy. 11-2.
George in Williamstown. George.
Hey, you hungry? I got something for you.
What's up, George?
What's up? So, actually, listen on hold. You make me want to go in so many different directions, but I got to stay on what I got to say. So, the interview with Baldy. Mm-hmm. The Eagles organization, Howie can tell me things, and you tell me not to listen to it. Doug Peterson can say things, you tell me not to listen to it. Baldy doesn't say something in an interview, and you want me to listen to it. Johnny Marks is right. The question should have been asked. If you wanted that moment, you should have asked Baldy, if Carson Wentz played better, would we have beaten Washington?
But we don't need Baldy.
Everybody knows, even Carson Wentz, that if he played better, we would have beat Washington.
Including me. I know that.
Oh, come on, Ike.
How many times have I said that over the last 3 days?
Oh, my God. You make every – I don't want to go at you.
No, it's not – no, George, because what you're classifying as an excuse is me giving you an explanation. I know it's hard for you to go to the second level of thinking and me break down the other facets of football. That's hard for you to accept. I know we want the low-hanging fruit. I know we want that. That's fine. That's fine on Reaction Monday. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. If it was so glaring that Wentz was the reason that they lost the game, that's what Baldy would have came on and said. That's what he would have came on and said. He's a former old lineman. He would have protected the O-line. He said the same thing Trey said yesterday about protection. Oh, by the way, another O-line. See, here's the thing. Another O-lineman who didn't go out of their way to protect the O-lineman and blame the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's two O-linemen that could have very easily said, listen, man, those guys did a great job up front. Quarterback got to get rid of the ball.
Well, I would say Baldy was more critical of the game plan and the coaching, et cetera, than anything else.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but nobody wants to hear that. We think where he's making excuses for Carson. My only point is we had two different O-linemen here that could have easily protected the O-line and said, you know what? And Baldy said some of those things, but neither guy ever got to the point where they said, you know what? Wentz is the reason they lost that game. Wentz is the reason for the majority of those sacks. A lot of those things could have been avoided if Carson Wentz. Doug didn't even say that. Doug didn't even say that. Right? So I know everybody wants to say they lost because of Wentz. That's different than saying if Wentz played better, they could have won that game. That's a true statement. They lost because of Wentz is not a true statement, in my opinion.
Coming up.
That's the difference.
Stump the Millennial. It's back. Your chance to win NBA 2K21. What is that?
No, NBA 2K21. This year's 2K.
For what? For whatever system you have?
Yeah.
See, I haven't had a system since Sega Genesis, so some of this stuff's hard for me.
Yeah, it's 2K.
All right, well, that sounds like a good prize. Stump the Millennial. Jack Fritz is the Millennial.
That's a great prize.
Oh, yeah,
2K is like a cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Do you play it?
I used to be really good at 2K, and then I turned 25.
Is that right?
Yeah, and stopped playing video games.
All right.
Oh, how about that?
Well, aren't you 25?
No, I'm 26.
Oh, 20. Oh, so it's been a whole year since you yeah. Since you got mature.
Thanks.
All right, Stump the Millennial coming up next. We'll take caller number 5 on the contest line, 215-988-1258. Caller number 5, 215-988-1258. We'll play Stump the Millennial. That's next, Marks and Reese.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.